This is the January 12 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Dave Chatterton. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. We'll also be joined by Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You may do that at willag.org. We'll start with Chuck Shelby. Not long after the USDA reports were released earlier today, Chuck, thank you for being with us. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Let's go through some of the corn numbers as they were released by the United States Department of Agriculture. They did lower the number of harvested acres. However, they increased total yield per acre by 2.4 bushels. It's now at 177.3 bushels to the acre. That put total production a bit higher, up 108 million total. First, on those production figures, was this something you expected?
We thought the yield would come up maybe a bushel, Todd, but to jump up 2.5 bushel seemed, I didn't think that was going to happen. But at this point, that's a pretty big jump, but they did drop back the harvested acres, which helps a little bit. But that's a pretty significant jump up in the yield.
What did you see in the consumption side of that supply and demand table that interested you?
Well, we're increasing ethanol usage a bit, so that's helpful. Carry out at the end of the day was 2.13 in the previous report, and we're 2.16, which isn't a huge increase, but the negativity to the market, when it was bigger, and I think the yield number kind of spooked the market into more aggressive selling.
Yeah, just to go through some of those supply and demand figures again, total supply by the time you have what's all in, up 106 million bushels, as opposed to the production, which was up 108. Feed and residual usage was up about 25. Ethanol up 50 million, and that puts total domestic usage 75. No changes in the exports markets, up at 2.1 billion bushels total. Farmers who have grain left in the bin from the 2023 harvest now are, if our numbers at the time you and I are recording at 11:30, in I won't say real trouble, but they should be really troubled by the numbers they're seeing. What are you telling them?
Yeah, it's pretty concerning here, Todd, with the breakdown here. As we go forward into next week, we do have a long 3-day weekend here. So if the market can catch and recover, I think producers are going to have to hone in on letting those bushels go. Again, there's some pretty low-cost re-ownership strategies if the producer is uncomfortable letting it go and thinks something can change this market. So again, going to have to focus in on, a point out there of letting it go. And it is what it is at this point, and not a lot we can do to change it.
Yeah, so this particular set of reports, and there are four of them, were released today, tend to set the tone right through the USDA prospective plantings report. Your expectation, I guess, from what you're telling me, is that it's better to take your losses at this point, or take what income you can get at this point. And then if you want to own it on paper rather than to try to ride a market out that is moving lower and interest rates that have been higher for this year, I suppose.
Yeah, I think the key you hit on there, Todd, was interest rates and the cost of money. What if you're paying off a loan, or if you're using your money to, buy inputs, it's better spent to do that. And you can go out there in time and have X amount of money laid on the line if you choose to buy back. So seems like a better game plan to go ahead and find a point to move the grain and then convert over to paper if you want to.
What'd you see in the soybean numbers that interested you?
Same as in the corn, we raised the yield up a bit. We dropped down harvested acres a little bit. Carryout went from 245 to 280. It's not a huge increase, but again, just that psychological impact to the market again when you raise the yield like that and raise the carryout a bit. The market's in negative territory and under pressure here. We're going to see if we can hold the $12 level. That's pretty critical, I believe, as we move into next week.
Does this give you a greater importance to market new crop at some point as well?
Well, I think we still have some questions to be answered as far as acres. Last year, producers opted for corn pretty heavily and didn't come after the beans. So as we move to springtime, I'm still kind of questioning which way producers will go. Inputs are cheaper on corn than they were last year, particularly nitrogen and fertilizer. But it'd be nice to see the beans get back up above $12. And I think producers looking next year, I think $5 futures type corn and $12 plus dollar bean futures are an area that producers are going to have to hone in and try to look at making some sales.
What'd you make of the USDA's numbers on the world balance sheets?
Well, that was a little bit interesting there. They did drop the South American Brazilian side of the equation, but you know, there's a lot in the trade to think the Brazilian crop's lower than 157. So I think it was helpful. The question going forward that could help the bean market is how much lower do we drop the Brazilian crop? So there's a little bit of cheery news out there, I guess, that could help the bean market.
How do you talk producers into looking, and maybe you're not quite at this point, at this time, thinking about a marketplace that looks more like 2014 to 2019 rather than the last several years?
Well, I think it's maybe skewed the way producers have looked at the market, and the last 3-4 years, the market's found a reason to come out of the woodwork and rally the market beyond what, you know, we would have thought was reasonable. At this point, though, the environment's changed, unfortunately. I'm a producer, too, so I really, you know, don't like what's going on. But it's hard to wrap your head around that big shift in attitude of this market and supply. So, you know, we really have our work cut out for us as producers in 24, simply from the standpoint that we're not going to have the price opportunities that we have had. You know, we still got a lot of weather to go and acres, and you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. But I think you have to look at 24 and play more defense than in the previous years you had opportunities. So I think it's just play defense and, you know, try to make a little bit of money and see how this all plays out.
Anything else from you for the day?
Well, it was an interesting report. I know a lot of producers are disappointed out there. Going forward, we're just going to have to make game plans and adjust as we go, and this is the cards that were dealt to us today.
That's Chuck Shelby. He is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. We're now joined by Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Thank you for taking some time on a very busy Friday. I went through some of the numbers with Chuck, particularly for corn. So let's just start there. Some big changes. The market did not like it, particularly, I suppose, that there was a 2.4 bushel increase in corn yield. What did you see in the numbers?
You know, outside of maybe the winter wheat seedings, the numbers lean bearish across the board and included a few surprises, as you indicated. You stay raising yield on both corn and soybeans here and taking that, you know, for the soybean balance sheet anyway, primarily to the bottom line. We did see a 75 million bushel overall increase in corn demand between exports and feed use, ethanol and feed use that you know, helped cushion that blow to a small degree. But, you know, we're still in terms of where we stand with ultimate, you know, overall carry out here, certainly not a lot for the bulls to hang their head on. The momentum in the market has been down. The funds have been, you know, open interest has been rising. New shorts have been coming in here, and it looks like nothing here to arrest that trend today. There's a chance that, you know, maybe we overdo it to the downside and, you know, get oversold and look for a little bit of a bounce. I think the bigger hope here is it might stimulate some export demand via these lower prices and see that start to show up here, you know, next week and beyond.
You think that'll show up in corn or soybean?
Well, hopeful for both, but I think at this point it's probably, you know, incumbent upon China when I look at where they're at in terms of you know, where they're going. If we break that down into corn exports, our what I'll call our traditional partners in, let's say, Mexico, Canada, South Korea, and Japan, if you look at their year-to-date, you know, what they've taken and how far ahead they are of last year, they're really overperforming and doing pretty well. The gap stands with China. And so is China going to take corn here in the near term? I think they will if the price gets cheap enough. I think initially we thought that number might be below 450 in the March corn, and we're there. So certainly I think they could take some corn for their reserves, but they may, you know, they may stand aside until they feel like the trend is going to, you know, is going to finish out. Soybeans, when you look at the export offers, you know, they'll probably take some beans, but I think they're going to point to South America at this point. The early harvest beans that come off quite a bit cheaper there for, you know, February and March going forward than what we could offer out of the U.S. And so, you know, there may be get some beans business done, but China primarily looks like we'll swing to South America. And with that, you know, the carryout USDA today pointing it closer to that $300 million for the U.S. bottom line as opposed to 200. So, you know, we'll find our line in the sand here. It's just going to take, I think, a little bit of digging here to do that.
The stocks to use ratio for corn pushing right up against 15%. Do you have downside targets for this marketplace based on that kind of stocks to use ratio or what the charts are telling you below where we've gone so far on Friday?
Well, yeah, I mean, so if we look at our lows we're recording today, well, let's call it 440. It's actually 441 for March corn. Juice corn has a low here and 476, we'll call it 475. So certainly the first line in the sand is going to be 425 followed by $4. There's not a lot of, you know, particular measurements or points that we go to, but I think as we approach that $4 level on the old crop, certainly we're going to have to see, you know, what shows up. So let's call it somewhere between 4 and 450 for the downside targets there. If we look at the soybean complex, again, you know, we're approaching, you know, that $12 mark and really touched it. We had a 1203 low as we're recording today in that March corn contract, March soybean contract. And it's a situation where, you know, I don't see a lot of meat on the bone below that. I would think that the risk starts to become skewed to the upside, Todd. But, you know, the momentum and the algo part of the trading community here is going to continue to push on this thing until we find some buyers or somebody willing to cover their shorts.
Of course, the consumption numbers in the corn and the soybeans both impacted wheat as well by the grain stocks figures. Those were released earlier as today. Was there anything in those that you found of interest?
Well, unfortunately, they all came in slightly above the average trade guess here. And, you know, we knew that they were going to increase from where they were last year in terms of corn and soybeans, and they did that. Nothing really shocking in those numbers. I don't think they're not the biggest, you know, portion or, you know, the biggest, you know, part of what the action is today. I think the focus was on the U.S. yield of production and the balance sheet in terms of supply demand and in terms of where we're at with South America. So, you know, the stocks numbers, again, like as I indicated, lean a little bit bearish, not probably the, you know, the biggest part of the move here today or the price action.
As we began our discussion, you mentioned the wheat figures that were released, an update on acreage. Tell me about those.
Yeah, so just a little bit, you know, above what was anticipated, or excuse me, below what was anticipated. We had U.S., you know, all winter wheat, 34.4 million acres. Average trade estimate was 35.8. And, you know, I think the USDA final for last year, 36.7. So those numbers are a little bit friendly here. They run across the board, the winter wheat categories, as well as the soft red, you know, winter wheat, soft red winter wheat, 6.86 million acres versus a trade expectation of 7.1 billion. So, you know, that helps to build a base here. Wheat, unfortunately, today caught up in what, you know, in the row crop action and not finding much traction here. Again, we're below $6 in that March contract. We pivoted that, you know, that area a few times here, but, you know, wheat has shown independence in the past. We haven't spent much time below this $6 mark here of late in the last, you know, month or so. So we'll see how we come out of this. And again, hoping that we can find a little bit of a bottom, but Nothing too encouraging in the action that we found so far today.
USDA and the world numbers raised the Argentine soybean crop by 2 million metric tons. They lowered the Brazilian crop by 4 million metric tons. They offset each other just a little bit. Anything else in those figures that you were watching?
Not really. I mean, I think, you know, the USDA is moving in the direction that the trade expected. You know, I think there's probably more room to go on this Brazilian soybean crop. But with that, you know, you're looking at a lower than initially hoped for crop in Brazil, but still a good crop and near a record crop. You're looking at a strong bounce back from a, you know, a very sharp, you know, reduction in drought at production in Argentina last year. Once you put the two of those together and you add in Uruguay and Paraguay, we're looking at record South American supplies. And, you know, the corn, it's a little too early to make that call because we, you know, we haven't even planted the Safrinha corn crop in Brazil yet. But in beans, we certainly know we're closing in on that figure. I think the attitude is that things in Brazil with the weather have stabilized and maybe even started to improve just a little bit. Some of the early harvest results have not been the best, but that's, I think, to be expected for the crops that got hurt the worst here by the weather and the dryness. So, you know, we're going to have a lot of competition on our hands from an export standpoint and, you know, I guess nothing that we're not used to, but certainly not the most bullish recipe as we look forward and look down the road into, you know, towards planting time and into the summer here in the U.S.
Given the set of numbers that will influence the next 3 months, what are you telling producers?
Hopefully you've gotten a little bit ahead of the curve. If you have not, I think you're going to have to find a point in here and let the dust settle in the next week or two. But you have to bite a bullet and sell and defend. You know, it's easy to come in here and buy calls or buy call spreads or do something that's, you know, quantifiable for the upside. But, you know, for right now, that upside is going to be pretty limited. We have a lot of geopolitical things going on in the world that, you know, that can influence the trade. It's always what we don't know or don't see, you know, Todd, that gets us. So, you know, again, I think the downside is becoming limited here, but finding the recipe for a, you know, sustainable rally is still lacking. So, you know, absent where we're at, you know, small rallies are your friend, and I think you have to just keep marketing even though you don't necessarily like these prices.
That's Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Now let's turn to Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. As we finished up with Dave, Chip, he was suggesting that farmers really have to look at the market and just continue to market on defense, I suppose, despite what the numbers are telling them in Chicago, meaning they don't like them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree somewhat. I'd probably qualify it a little bit. You know, we're going to have to lower our sights a little bit. I agree. Just keep marketing, but maybe not, you know, dump it all at these lows. I think there's a lot of discussion to be had about maybe trying to lock some basis in at these levels because no market goes straight up or straight down. I think we're really stretching the corn and the bean market to the downside now, extremely oversold. And so I think you could open the door up for a 20 to 30 cent bounce very easily just on short covering. If you see that, basis is going to drop 8 to 10 cents. So I think, you know, keep marketing, keep thinking about it. Think about when you want to move those bushels logistically. Think about basis and maybe locking some basis in. And then on rallies, also think about there's a tremendous amount of carry in both the corn and the bean market. Again, depending on when you want to logistically move those bushels, be thinking about selling the carry. And so, yes, agree totally. Caveat being, I guess, I don't think I'd, you know, sell a bunch today post-report. I think they're stretched to the extreme and could have a snapback, but certainly on rallies, you know, I think we have to lower our sights a little bit, continue to market, continue to use the carry in the market, continue to work basis in your favor.
Yeah, I would say that that's where Dave is as well. I probably didn't summarize that completely as I should have. So once farmers have this in their mind, they'll be probably really focused on old crop and what they should do with that. Do they need to focus on new crop at this time too?
Yeah, I think it's, which is, I do, yes. A long answer, Todd, yes, I think you need to focus on new crop. That's very difficult for farmers to do both at the same time. Mentally, that seems to be a big hurdle, right? We got a lot of old crop left. it's hard to think about selling new crop at the same time you're selling old crop, but I think it is something we need to keep in mind from several different levels. Number one, there's a lot of carry in the market. I talked about earlier, 481-ish December corn futures right now would not take much just to kind of a dead cat bounce to get you back just north of $5, 505, 510. That makes a fair amount of money for producers this year, given input costs have worked lower. You know, that could be upwards of $125, $150 an acre profit for Illinois type ground, you know, on average yield. So yes, I think at the same time we're marketing and getting opportunities to finish up the 23 crop, we need to, you know, simultaneously be thinking about 24 as well. The thing that jumped out at me that I just, you know, still a little bit boggled with, I'm not saying they're wrong, don't hear me say this, when you look at this report and we raised 177.3 bushel national average yield this year, what if it ever goes right from start to finish? You know, we'll be 185, 186 bushel national average yield easily if we get a good run from start to finish. If it happens to be next year on a lot of acres, we've got a lot of downside. I'm not saying you're going to see the downside immediately. We're going to have opportunities here. But yes, when you're finishing up 23 crop sales, I think we need to also be simultaneously getting very serious about 24 sales as well.
And just as a quick reminder to folks who have been listening to the program, particularly the Closing Market Report or watching the Farm Doc Daily website, the Agricultural Economist here on campus released their updated versions of the crop budgets for the 24-5 crop year, the one we're in now or just about to start, that is, and they show a $4.50 season's average cash price. So above $5, if you could get there, would be really seem to be a really very good price. Do you have a target for soybeans as well?
Well, are you talking a new crop, Todd?
Yes.
Yeah. So let me qualify that too. I was talking futures, December futures price. So your cash probably going to be, you know, somewhere in the 480, 485 type of a level. I think when you're talking about a cash target for beans on new crop, I think that new crop beans on the futures, which are trading right above $12 right now, still have chances to get back north of $12.50, maybe $12.60. That would put your cash, roughly, let's call it $12.40 to $12.50, I think would be probably a pretty decent target. Knowing what we know today, you know, to kind of target for new crop sales, and I'm not saying sell out there, but I think that's an easily achievable level that we could begin the process of getting more serious about marketing some 24 beans.
Now let's talk about the world situation and what has and has not changed. Can you go through some of those numbers for me for both corn and soybeans? You can start with maybe the Brazil numbers. And earlier in the week, CONAB released theirs. It was on Wednesday. They were at 155 million metric tons. USDA still above that.
Yeah, they came out at 157 on the Brazil bean crop number. That was down 4 million tons. And they may be the highest in the universe right now. So, you know, the Brazil numbers were a little bit laughable from USDA. The USDA is never, you know, front and center in the aggressive people in cutting world numbers. So they're more of a follower. The Brazil corn number, they were down 2 million tons to 127. For reference, and I don't have it right in front of me, I think CONAB on Wednesday was 119 and change, I believe, on that Brazil corn number. So USDA is still a little bit out of the high end of what most people are thinking that corn and bean crop is in reality down in Brazil. Now, Argentine corn crop was unchanged at 55. Argentine bean crop was up 2 million tons to 50. And so, I don't think that there was maybe any heartburn about those numbers from the USDA on the Argentine side. But the Brazil side sure, has me scratching my head saying they USDA is by far the, towards the high end of the estimates out there on those. But plenty of time for them to come down. And, you know, in reality, we don't know what that crop is. We got to get the combines rolling down in Brazil on their beans, and they haven't even planted the second crop corn down there. So there's plenty of growing season ahead for the USDA to get these numbers zeroed in closer. And then the world numbers, Todd, you know, with the big jump in our corn yields, up 10 million tons on the world corn carryout to 325.2. They're up 0.4 million ton on beans, so 114.6. That was only 0.4 million metric ton above the December estimate. So not much of a change on beans from a world carryout perspective. World wheat carryout was up 1.8 million tons to 260.03. So again, nothing super super bullish on those numbers, especially corn being up that 10 million ton number, but I qualify that in saying, you know, I think we've got a lot of uncertainty on what the final, you know, Southern Hemisphere crop sizes are, and that will swing those world corn and bean carryout figures, you know, with any changes going forward there.
It feels as if it makes the February, which generally isn't that big of a deal, WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, which is where the numbers you just gave me came from, for the month of January, that is, more important than it normally is as we look towards that crop in South America.
Probably, Todd, and just from those world numbers. And I don't even know that it will be as important from the WASDE number, but, you know, they're about every year. Sometimes it's on the same day, sometimes it's a day or two before, are the CONAB numbers, right? And I think those are going to start being more important even here over the next 60 to 90 days than the USDA WASDE numbers, because, you know, I said it earlier, and, you know, they have a big job, the USDA. I'm not trying to discredit them at all, but they just, on world numbers, they are a follower. They are not the one to aggressively cut the numbers. But CONAB has boots on the ground. So I think those numbers going forward every month as to what the Brazil corn and bean crop size are probably overshadow the USDA WASDE numbers and become, you know, maybe the driving force as to where the market's going to try to figure out, you know, are there further cuts coming, or are we going to be somewhere in the 150 million ton range, you know, on the Brazil bean crop? There's massive private estimate differences. I mean, there's some people thinking you're under 140 on that Brazil bean crop, and then others thinking we're in the low 150. So that's going to leave somebody disappointed. And if we're on one extreme or the other, especially the lower extreme, then we're going to have some definite market adjustments if we see that.
Just a quick reminder for those who'd like to see those CONAB numbers, I do follow them and post them under the USDA tab. When they are released, they're usually the morning of or a couple of days before USDA reports on the monthly, the WASDE figures. And I do convert them into million bushels, so they're easier to understand what the drops might be, or the increases, should that happen, in the Brazilian figure. So CONAB is USDA's counterpart in Brazil. Any final word from you today, Chip?
Well, I would say that even going into this report, I've over the last week had talks with several producers, just an overwhelming amount of bearishness out there. I think that there's been some analysts that, you know, and, you know, I'm not saying they're wrong. They've been right so far. The bear camp is really extreme. And I don't remember, this may be about as most extreme bearish sentiment as I've seen in the grain markets in many, many years. So keep your head up. I guess, you know, there will be opportunities. Don't get dejected. I know there's a lot of corn left to price. We're going to have opportunities. So I think first and foremost, don't stick your head in the sand. Don't get too depressed or overly dejected about these markets, but be ready for the opportunities, because I really think they will come. I think they're going to have better chances than today. So don't panic. Don't get too dejected, but be ready to, you know, trip the trigger when we do have those opportunities over the coming months.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find it online at willag.org and listen to it on demand anytime you'd like. Our panelists for the day have included Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing, Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.